Hello, lovelies. Welcome to this episode of Lessons from the Universe with Jennifer Hall. I look forward to sharing my channeled message with you today. And if you love it, please remember to like, share, review, and subscribe. Everyone knows that I think Jesus was a pretty cool dude. He was charismatic and well-spoken, and he had a bunch of people around him who really believed in him. His crew, his disciples, they called them. They were close. They were close as they come, and they were a pretty interesting bunch. Several were his brothers. Others were intellectuals. There's Matthew. He was a tax collector, and he probably funded the whole thing, the revolution. I mean, I say revolution because Jesus had no intention of starting a ministry. That came much later. This revolution was about waking people up and making them pay attention. So, yeah. We had Matthew, and we had Matthew's brother James, who was a known iconoclast. Intellectual person who made a practice and a point of attacking and disemboweling the cherished beliefs and overrunning, you know, the powerful institutions that were controlling people's behaviors and beliefs. And Matthew and James introduced Jesus to Simon, or pulled him in. He was a zealot, think cheerleader and comedian. And Judas was a known embezzler. You add a few fishermen buddies and a couple more carpenters who were very likely Jesus's brothers based on, you know, the population of the time and the clear career paths and how they fell into families. And there was also an artist. These were all men who agreed on and believed in one thing. Well, other than Jesus himself, they believed in change. They were going against everything that was normal in the day. The government and its corruptive presence within the church, classism, sexism, you name it. And they motivated each other. One had inside knowledge thanks to his career. Another was a researcher. He dug into things. There was the muscle and the motivator. And of course, there was Jesus, the charismatic channel, the voice of their protest, their movement for change. Let's be clear. While I like pretty much everything Jesus said, I am not naive enough to think he wasn't influenced by his buddies, their intentions, their knowledge, and their zeal. Some of his actions were clearly influenced by them. The losing his shit and flipping the tables? I mean, I imagine the pep talk before that. Think about it. Think about this iconoclast. Come on, dude, show them we mean business. And the barrage of facts he was given, and the pep talks and the motivation, the stirring of his deep-seated emotions to agitate this otherwise gentle and nonviolent man. I mean, let's think about this charismatic, altruistic Jesus hanging out with these men who supported him and his message. And they just so happened to be politicians and rebels and frustrated citizens who were all pissed off at the government and the church and the antiquated caste system of the day. It's not sacrilegious. Every one of us knows that sometimes you have to lose your cool. Sometimes you have to yell at a child. Sometimes you have to get into that argument with your partner or your friend. Sometimes you have to flip a fucking table to get someone's attention, to make them listen, to make them change. That's pretty genius, actually. They were trying to get people to pay attention, to think for themselves, to create and embrace change, to walk on water. to walk on water. That ignorance, that human overriding consciousness and belief, the thing that makes us give in to race consciousness and thoughts into what every other person our age, in our area, in our position in life is thinking. It's so easy to buy in to what we're taught, to what we're given. That is the sea. And beneath its surface, there is every form of creature and monster and cliff and rock. And yes, beautiful things too. But it's hiding there beneath the surface where it's spooky and dark. And it's easy to drown in the sea of thinking, of being like everyone else, of staying the same. Let's think for just a minute about a story that's told in many of the books of the Bible over and over again. Jesus and the disciples had been at the feast, right, where he was able to magnify the loaves and the fishes, which, you know, I could say that he was able to compel people to share because there's always enough, right? Irrelevant, a story for another day. They're leaving there, and Jesus puts all of the disciples in a boat, and they are supposed to go across the Sea of Galilee to the west side. And let's think about for a minute. Let's look at the metaphysics of it all. The sea representing human consciousness, right? That very thing that Jesus and his disciples are trying to push against, right? Let's change the way that the government operates and treats its people. Let's change the corruption of the church. Let's think and be different. And they're in this boat floating above the surface of the water, protected by Jesus, who is able to rein them all in, right? He's a great charismatic leader. He pulls on the faith of one and the strength of the other, the zeal of the third. He has them all working together to support each other. They're floating above the sea. And then in the story, right, in Matthew's version of the story, it says the night fell and the sea rose and the windstorms came. Ignorance fell. Human thoughts and fears began to stir around them. They became afraid. And yet, there came Jesus walking across the water. Jesus, so focused on his truth, his mission, his path, so able to say no to human consciousness, to the bullshit, to the fear, to the race belief that there's no way we can create change. There are more parallels to modern day politics than I even need to point out. He's walking across the water and he's telling them, you don't have to hide and you don't have to be afraid. We are powerful enough to walk across the surface of this thought, to know that all matters of beast and creatures are beneath the surface of the water, and yet we are here, walking above it all in our truth. And he says, come and walk with me. Peter tries. Peter represents faith, right? He steps out on the water and he's walking towards Jesus. But faith on its own isn't enough. It requires strength as well. And in a moment of weakness, Peter, the fisherman, who draws his thoughts from the unchangeable sea of human awareness and experience. He looks down. He looks down into that thinking, the old. And he sees all the monsters. And he sinks. He sinks. Jesus saves him, right? Not because Jesus had a magical power that Peter didn't, but because Jesus used all of his powers. He added his faith to strength. And what is strength? Strength is something we earn. We earn through our experiences. We earn by seeing through the seas and past the monsters to what is true. Strength is patience, acceptance, steadfastness, the ability to balance our thinking and our emotions and to forgive ourselves for the very sea of our flawed thinking. To say, it's okay that that's there, but it is not my truth and it is not the boss of me. We all have the ability to walk on water, to rise above what we used to believe, what we used to think, what we experienced in the past, to rise up above what everyone else is saying and thinking and being and feeling. We have the ability to change and to facilitate the change in the world. It's a ripple effect. By our actions, by our intentions, by our words, and by who we choose to support, who we stand behind, what message we help to spread, who we believe in, who we motivate. Without his disciples, Jesus could not have done all that he is credited for. He was supported and loved. He was validated and motivated. And in the process, everyone lifted up. The water began to calm for those who listened. The water began to calm for those who said, change is good. Were there things that sucked? Absolutely. We live in a human world, and sometimes tables have to flip, and people are hurt. But in the end, there is evolution. Each and every one of us can walk on the water. We know the monsters are beneath the surface. We know. That's okay. We know that there are experiences that can reach up out of that water and grab us by the ankles and pull us in. We know it's there. But it can't do that if we don't let it. Don't look down. Learn and grow and let go. And when you walk across the surface of the water, by your faith, your strength, your love, before you know it, you'll reach dry land. Think about that, beloved. Remember, we're in this together. You're not alone. If I'm all you have, if this voice on the other end of your phone or your computer or whatever it is all you have, today it is enough. If it is the community of believers on my Facebook page, great. If it is the people in your church, great. If it is your family, you are blessed. You are not in it alone. Yes, the masses are drowning in the sea, but you do not have to join them. Even if they try to grab your ankles and pull you in, you do not have to go with them. And you don't have to pull them out either. If they're ready, yes. And if not, know that their time will come. Have faith and strength. Together, those two things will make you unstoppable. Until next time, beloved, namaste.
Hi, my name is Tessa. I've been a regular client of Jen's for over 4 years now. I found her at a point when I really needed her, when my life had hit rock bottom, which of course, as I realized later, was no coincidence. Her wisdom and support have been invaluable to me, and I honestly cannot even imagine what kind of life I'd have now, or the person I'd be now if I'd never met her. She's helped me learn how to rebuild in positive ways. Her guidance over the years has taught me how to live more purposefully and joyfully than I probably ever otherwise would have known how to do. She's helped me learn to see and understand the world and other people in new and more loving ways, and to also embrace and appreciate who I am. Jennifer's such a treasure, and I love knowing that others benefit from receiving her guidance as well. I recognize that this podcast and its messages may not be for everyone, but for many of us, probably those of you listening, I truly believe we're very fortunate and blessed to have a voice like Jennifer's that's available to us through this podcast, where we can access and listen to her encouraging messages anytime we want to. I know I do. I'd like to ask each and every one of you to please consider supporting it in any way you can, whether it's through financial contribution, spreading the word to others, providing positive reviews, or any other way you can give. Remember that every little bit counts. Thank you for listening to and supporting Jen, someone who I'm also very grateful to be able to call a dear friend. I owe her so much gratitude for making me a better person, mother, wife, and friend. Thank you.
I want to thank each and every one of you for joining me today for this episode of Lessons from the Universe with Jennifer Hall. If you haven't already, come out and find me on social media. And if you're inspired by the podcast, please consider clicking that little green patron button at the top of the screen. Here, you can help keep us growing and flowing, and you can gain access to what I call Jen in real life. That is patron-only content. If you're wanting to learn more, I recently introduced educational sessions specifically to address people's questions that come up around the podcast. These are the only sessions available to new clients, and you can find details in the About section of my Facebook page. I want to send each of you light and love, clarity and wisdom, and know that whether you realize it or not, there's a little brunette with a podcast who's got your back. Until next time, beloved, namaste.